that's just a groovy party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, your host, with my co-host, Dr. Richard Danforth, president and CEO of the Jacksonville Urban League, doing some great things over at the Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health Services. Hey, good morning, guys, and welcome. Good to see you guys. Great for our listeners. We got a bang up show this morning. What's going on, Dr. Danforth?
Oh, we've got quite a bit going on. It depends on how much time we have. And of course, we know how much time we have. But right up front, let me send out our condolences to the Clay County officer, Sergeant Eric Twisdale, was laid to rest. He was the police officer that died from the COVID-19. So our prayers are with his family. And of course, the great Gail Sayles passed this week at 77 years old. Boy, could he run that ball.
But, yeah, 77 years young, Doc. He was an outstanding running back, played 5 years in the NFL and made it to the Hall of Fame. That's amazing.
That's amazing, just that little time, and but he was good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jarman, this is Suicide Awareness Month. Am I correct?
Yes, Larry. It is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, the month of September, where we highlight the symptoms and the signs of risk for suicide, and due to the pandemic. And again, it's on top of life stressors, the suicide rate has increased, or even the thoughts of suicide amongst adolescents and even adults. In the state of Florida, it's just as a whole, the suicide rate was around about 14%, but it's at least doubled since the pandemic has hit. And we have even seen an increase in patients who are coming in, and that's Harvest and Intervention Mental Health Services, where there's just an increase of that stress and anxiety. You can watch out for symptoms of or signs of not wanting to perform just daily activities anymore, and negative thoughts all the time. Some of those signs and negative behaviors, destructive behaviors, those are some of the signs to say that someone could potentially be a risk to themselves. And if you're a risk to yourself, you also are a potential risk for others. So let's be aware of our family members and our friends that may be dealing with some mental health challenges at this time. Whether it's just sadness, you know, negative thoughts, whatever it is, professional support can help to bring a person to acceptance and understanding of what they're going through and to overcome it.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that. And we do need to be aware of that. People, really it's a silent deal that they deal with inside themselves. I'm not a psychologist, so I'm gonna leave that alone. Okay, around the horn here, Dr. Danford and Jarman, a quick thumbs up, thumbs down on these topics. Breonna Taylor.
What comes to mind when I think about that, the recent decision in that case, I think that the system is just broken. The laws are broken, and it needs to be changed. And it's unfortunate in this situation. My heart and prayers go out to the family of Breonna Taylor to have to deal with the decision, and even just the community as a whole, just as a human being. If you felt compassion and empathy in this case, and this hurt you too to see this decision, then again, it's a broken system.
John, you read the brief, the decision. How can the police be correct and Breonna correct? You know, how can both parties within the law?
But right. Well, just according to what I read in the case, the law allows for the police to have that no knock warrant to enter. And the homeowner also, the law allows the homeowner to use their right to for self-defense because they did not know who the intruder was. And the police also had a right to shoot back in self-defense. So whatever happens in the midst of that, it's like it's collateral damage. You know, the law allows all of that to happen. And the only crime in this case was were them shooting into the neighbor's apartment, okay, because it was some form of endangerment. But when it comes to her death, the law says that, and it allows for it. And again, the system is broken.
Hey, you would have made a great lawyer.
You think so? Really?
there's hope.
But anyways, moving on. President Trump visited Jacksonville yesterday for the Great American Comeback Rally. I understand it was a lot of folks there with and without masks. And on the other side of town, some local leaders got together to show support for Joe Biden and his campaign. What's going on in Duval? Politics.
Campaign. Well,
it depends on who's talking, but obviously all politics, leads to the White House. you know, we've got, 39 days left to decide whether you want to register and vote, and of course, we'll talk about that later. But I tell you, I mentioned it last week. I'm going to mention it again. I think it's un-American. You're talking about the Great American Comeback. I think it's un-American for citizens of the United States of America to refuse to vote, to refuse to register, particularly African-Americans. And I'll say that on the radio and on TV.
Okay, well, now we know how you feel about it. Hey, so I'm looking, and our governor, DeSantis, has decided that he's going to move the state, the entire state, into phase 3, even though we're having an uptick with the coronavirus. What's going on there, you guys? That sounds kind of strange to me.
Well, everything is strange about this COVID-19. I don't care we don't know which way is loose. You remember the movie, Which Way Is Loose? We don't know what's up. We don't know what's down. It's a ball of confusion, as the OJs used to say.
And that one fits.
I still don't know either one, but it's okay. It is a lot of confusion though. So, the governor is using his position to move forward with what, he believes is in the best interest, even though not everyone, agrees with that. So, hopefully they will be more transparent with what happens as a result of moving to phase three so we can make more informed decisions.
Yeah, we've got to get more people back to work. We've got to, they've got to spend money. We've got to collect taxes. Otherwise, many of the programs won't be funded by the state next year. So it's so they're rushing to try to get people back in situations where they're spending a lot of money.
Yeah, but you can't buy people. That's the problem. You know, we can can't buy folks' lives. You know.
Well, Larry, we've had 200,000 deaths. I don't see there so much concern about that. I mean,
you mean that you don't see it, or that the government doesn't see it?
I'm saying that I'm not seeing our government that concerned about the lives of ordinary people. You know.
Okay. And with that being said, we're gonna move and take a music break here. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
Hey, how are you now? I'm closing chapters, I'm turning pages. Glory to glory, and from faith to faith, I'm moving on, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. I'm getting older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on, I'm moving on, hey, I'm moving on. Hey, I know my rear view can't compare to what God will do with my life. And I am forgetting what's behind me. I am finally decided I'll be moving on. I'm moving on.
All right.
Your failures, woo! And forgive yourself for moving on.
I'm moving on.
Tell me we're
God's hands.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host, along with Larry Williams and Dr. Richard Danford. And team, we finished off talking about DeSantis, Governor DeSantis moving into phase three. We're also remembering that we're moving into the election time. Okay, we mentioned we're getting close to voting, and we see where Mike Bloomberg, the former New York mayor and Democrat presidential candidate, he raised $16 million to help Florida felons to pay their outstanding fines for them to exercise their right to vote. So I just believe that, you know, these felons who will have this opportunity, who are already registered to vote, this is, I think, a great thing that Mike Bloomberg has done. What do you all think?
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's something that we need to really applaud Michael Bloomberg for. Also, it's a big deal for those 32,000, possibly 32,000 Black and Latino voters who might be given the chance vote in this upcoming election. And, you know, the entire deal with the governor and his administration applying and forcing these felons to repay all of their debt back to society restitution wise is disingenuous. Dr. Right. Danford?
Yeah, I agree with you. This is nothing more than a sophisticated form of the poll tax, you know, that impacted us for so many years. I can remember as a little boy, my grandmother up in Georgia was one of the few Blacks that could vote, because she had a business and she had they had a poll tax back in the day. So this is a continuation of a way to discourage people from voting. But I have a question. The funds that Bloomberg is providing to former felons, does it come with the caveat that they must vote in the fall, or that's not in the agreement to get the funding?
In the information that I've seen, Dr. Danford, no, it doesn't state anything about, you know, who you should vote for, or even if you should vote. They're saying that we will provide you with an opportunity to repay your restitution to the state. And then you can decide, you know, you're already registered. Then you decide whether you want to vote or not and who you want to vote for.
Okay.
Right. And again, focusing on the positive side of that is that we have a group of felons who will have their voting rights restored. And that's what, you know, we're pushing for. Remember, the general election date is November 3rd. Exercise your right to vote. You know, we're seeing now, you know, that the laws aren't always in the community's favor. And right. So we have to utilize the rights that we have and what we can do to make a positive impact. So
don't forget that this is, you know, the ability to repay those loans on behalf of those felons, you know, could be challenged, you know, and I'm sure it will be challenged, especially here in the state of Florida. So this won't just be, you know, a deal right. where they come in and say, hey, wave this magic wand and these guys is under $1,500 restitution is taken care of. So
wow. So just expect some challenges even in that. But, you know, absolutely. Hey, stick to it.
But for the rest of us, vote by mail ballots go out next week. So if you requested, one in the mail, you should get it and make certain that you fill it out. And
yes,
if you're able to take it down there, if you're able to get in your car and take it down there, do so, or you can put it in the at the local post office.
And remember to sign it. You have to sign it.
Yeah. And make sure you use the same signature that you always use.
Yeah, and make sure that you vote the entire ballot. You know, don't just vote the president and the big ticket races. Make sure you vote the entire ballot, because at the end of the ballot is the half penny sales tax for public schools. So vote the entire ballot. Familiarize yourself with the candidates and issues and vote, because there's some.
But we're going on record supporting this half penny sales tax.
Well, I don't know about we, but I know I am.
I am in support of the half penny sales tax.
Well, I'm in support as well.
It's well needed for our students to have a greater opportunity at learning. So,
well, it's so needed for our communities.
Yes.
With these 50-year-old schools.
Yes, these old schools with outdated or broken air conditioners, just a plethora of things that are going on. So,
roofs, the whole nine yards, 120, as Chairman Jones pointed out last week's show, 121 of the schools were built before 1970. Come on,
yes,
please.
Yes, yes.
If that was a football stadium, they would have replaced it three or four times.
Yes.
I want to make certain that when we get these new schools and all this new stuff, that we have the quality education. You know, we don't talk a whole lot about that as we talk about facilities, but they go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I don't think the makeup of the facility, you know, should affect whether a child is getting a good education or not. Dr. Danforth, you remember we had those shacks where we had to go make the fires in the morning before we could start school. So, you know, you can learn in any environment if you really want to learn.
Well, don't, you know,
right?
The young people certainly don't want to hear what you're talking about, Larry. So
they don't want to hear about the
making
of
fire. No.
Well, look.
Wow.
You know, when you know your history, you know your greatness, right?
Right. You still came out with a great education and became successful. So, but again, it's not just about the facilities, but it's about the education and the positive support and feedback from the people around these students. They definitely need that.
But it doesn't hurt to have a nice place to go and learn. So,
with updated technology, and so digital learning can continue.
Hey, Larry, I know you haven't mentioned JEA in a while, but I thought I would bring up the fact that it's here in the newspaper. It says that ex-Congresswoman Corrine Brown will get the court to hear her appeal. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and you know, I pray that she gets another opportunity to prove her innocence and clear her record. I think that's probably one of the most important thing for any of us is our character and how people view us after we're gone. And you know, even though she's still here physically, you know, she's not the congresswoman anymore. And you know, if it were me, I'd make sure if I could to clear my name and my record.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to assist her, let's take that, because that's how we grew up. We really believe that the Lord will work in your favor if you deserve it. And so we'll see what happens, and we wish her best.
Yeah, and like you said, let God's will be done, and then we move forward. We're also going to move forward into this next segment. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Trey Taylor, you the GOAT.
Try this show.
Nothing feels better than to know you, and nothing's more important than to show you.
comes close to what the vibe is. Nothing's more exciting than the time spent with you. No one but you can love me true. How you love me when you love me and you tell me everything is gonna be alright. Yeah. And you mean the world to me. You are my everything. And I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I like it when it's just us talking and you don't hold it against me. That you don't really need me for nothing, but I need you for everything. And when I'm honest with you, telling you my issues, you keep it official every time I kick it with you. It's no games, no games, oh, don't change, don't change. Cause you mean the world to me. You are my everything. And I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me.
Good morning and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our special guest is Jacksonville City Council member Garrett Dennis. Good morning, Garrett, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Good to see you, and trust all is well. What's going on over at the council?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me. There's a lot going on over there. As you know, we passed our $1.34 billion budget, which I voted against. And so and so this 2 years in a row. And the reason why I voted against the budget, because it does not meet the needs and the priority of our community. And so I just refuse to co-sign and support the budget.
Okay.
But I understand, Gary, that you all have allocated some funding for, quote, the old city limits or whatever. Carlucci mentioned, is it Northwest Quadrant or the old city limits?
It's the old city limits. anywhere between 13 to $17 million a year in the budget needs to go to those areas, which is positive. It's a positive step, but, $13 million in old city is not going to go that far. You know, when we spend, close to $300 million in CIP projects, it's actually, continue to give us crumbs in the grand scheme of things.
So that 13 to 14 million, that's an annual budget for how many years? And is there any other funding on the horizon for such as block grants and other to help with that infrastructure problem in on the north and west side?
It's really not. I mean, there are some community block grants. And years ago, the city used to get about $30 million. Now the city gets less than $10 million of that, the community block grant. And again, yeah, it's money, but it just doesn't go go enough. It doesn't go far enough. And let me explain to you what happens. We did an analysis of 7, 8, 9, 10. As you all know, those are the minority access districts. And if you look at District 7, over the past 5 years, District 7 has received $200 million in capital improvement projects. But if you look deeper, at that $200 million, a lot of that money has gone to the stadium, which is in District 7, $20 million a year goes to Shands, which is in District 7. You have all of, all of that infrastructure that's in and around the stadium that really doesn't impact neighborhoods. So, you know, again, it's aspirational to say that, you know, these dollars are going to this core area. But when you actually look at the projects, it's not really helping the neighbors and people that live in those areas.
Hey, Councilman, I see on Tuesday night you had a tough time. You were trying to have half of the sheriff's budget placed where they could come back and get it later. And people thought that you were trying to defund the police. And I listened to the full city council that evening. I tell you, it brings out the best and the worst of us. But I don't think that was that you were really trying to do just that. What were you trying to do in terms of your legislation that you proposed?
So this year's budget, we allocated or appropriated $484 million of our annual budget to the sheriff's office.
And so what is that?
$484 million. Let's just say $500 million.
Golly.
To the sheriff's office.
And so half a billion of the 1.3 billion is for.
Yeah.
It's for policing. It's for policing.
Does that include, include crime prevention as well?
It does not.
Where do we get, Councilman, where do we get the funding for crime prevention in this community? Since we have 135 murders in this city, where do we get the money to help crime prevent?
It should come from Kids Hope Alliance. There's some dollars from there. There's some dollars from our public service grants, but it's not enough. I mean, basically what we said to the citizens of Jacksonville is that on Tuesday night is that we put more priority in throwing people in jail, being a strong arm police force, and not in rehabilitating and basically, setting our citizens free in job training and things like that. And so my plan was to give them 6 months of operation, half of their budget, and then in 4 months, they come back for appropriation for 25%, then another 25%. And so during that time, you know, it is accountability, transparency, and communication. One council member who sits on the finance committee said, you know, we spent 45 minutes looking at the sheriff's budget, $500 million. Now, my annual income is nowhere near $500 million, and it takes my accountant 2 to 3 weeks to get all my paperwork together to file taxes, but we can go through a $500 million and sign up on $500 million in 45 minutes. It's unheard of and it's wrong.
Wow. And of course, Larry, the judge, Judge Bethea, he put all of the protesters in jail. He wanted to automatically give them 5 days. He's a bad judge, man. That's a bad dude over there.
Yeah, not in a good way either. Councilman Dennis, what else is going on that you have in the hopper, so to speak, for the constituents that's going to be positive moving forward?
Thank you for asking. I filed legislation on this week where putting together a citizen review board. So that's going through the city council.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. Right. We'll see how that goes, because the sheriff's office.
You want to put a wager on that, Garrett?
If it's going to pass or not?
Yeah. You want to put a little friendly wager on that? No, this is a. Oh, this is a. You can't do that in Jackson.
No, you can't do that, Doc.
Well, here's the deal. In the legislation, it's going to be a 14-panel citizen review board. And in my legislation, I have every city council member selecting one member to the board. So I did give some concessions, for the board, but we'll see how it goes. Even in the editorial on Monday said that the city council is scared to hold the sheriff's office accountable. And we're all weak. I mean, that's what they said.
Is that true? Is that true, Councilman?
I'm not scared. but yes. I mean, the right leaning, very conservative editorial board who endorsed Trump, they said that the city council is weak and should hold the sheriff's office accountable. But again, we're too scared to do it, and we don't have the ump to do it. And I agree.
Well, that's the same thing that applies to the Neighborhood Bill of Rights. If the council is afraid of the sheriff's office, then they're afraid of the neighborhoods. They're afraid of the people.
As I hear you, Dr. Danforth, and you know, it's unfortunate, Councilman Dennis, that you know the council members seem to weigh more value on material things and district centered things versus the overall good of their constituents in getting things done. I mean, you know, and I keep, you know, I've moved to Jacksonville 7 years ago, and the main thing that was always I've heard and seen is the septic tank situation on the north and the west side that still hasn't been addressed. And you're telling me that you're talking about $13 million, that'll replace one toilet probably.
I agree. If one toilet. I mean, it's sad to see, you know, my colleagues and other elected officials go out there and tell, you know, basically tell a lie to their constituents of what they'll do. As soon as they, you know, get sworn in and get there, they just forget about the people that elected them. And it's wrong and it's sad. And I see it every day, and it hurts my heart.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's unfortunate. And you know, we're going to have to take a break here. If you want to hang on for the next segment, Councilman Dennis, we'd appreciate it. This is Praise 107.9 FM, The Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this music selection.
I know it's going to be all right. Listen if you will. Yeah.
It's working for me.
Hey.
Even though I ain't
going to. It's going to be all right. Say it again.
It's working for me.
Gotta do what I could.
Even though I ain't.
Grace came and took me in, gave me a resting place. Thank you for amazing grace. You kept on covering me in the midst of all my wrong. You stay right by my side. Your love was my guide.
Brand new. He changed all my wrongs and gave me a brand new song. That's why I depend on you, 'cause I know you can see me through. You never left me lonely. I know. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, I gotta do what I could, even though I ain't what I should.
For me, you do it for you. No matter what I have done, it's gonna be all right.
The time is after all that we've been through. Ooh, to keep on getting me through. Thank you for pulling me through.
Somebody
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our special guest this morning is Councilman Garrett Dennis, Jacksonville City Council member, Garrett Dennis. So, Garrett, we were talking about some things off air, some other things that you have in the hopper. Tell us a little bit about the Confederate statue and what you have planned for that.
Well, Larry, you know, thank you for asking. As you know, that back in June, the mayor in the dark of night took the Confederate statue down, and I quickly moved to have the center park of our city renamed after James Weldon Johnson. It was definitely an uphill battle. We were able to maneuver, have that park name changed to James Weldon Johnson. Well, through the course, I have been in conversation with the Heming family, and the Heming family approached me and said, you know what, we want our statue back.
Now, Councilman Dennis was telling us about removing the statue, Dr. Danford, and do you recall that what he told us is that the statue was removed and he was trying to make allocation or legislation to send it back to the family?
You know, I don't know what the big deal is on these statues. The one down in St. Augustine, they spent $300,000 plus to have the statue to travel on a barge down the river to, I guess, to a safe place. I know that Randy Ringhaber has decided to pay to have it mounted over there on the river, down in, I believe it's down in Clay County, gentlemen. So down near you, you would have an opportunity. I guess they will have an opportunity to have bonfires and stuff around that statue when it's erected down there on the
$300,000.
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing.
Councilman Garrett was saying was that he was proposing to have the Confederate statue sent back to the Heming family. So yes, for it to go back.
What are they going to do with it? That big old thing. They're going to
Some people, you know, have like memorabilia. So maybe that's what it represents. I don't know. I don't know, but you know, they want it. So, hey,
let them have it.
Exactly. So, we do, have our education contributor who has joined us this morning. Good morning, board member Daryl Willie. How are you?
I don't know.
I'm fantastic.
You're doing fantastic. All right.
Pleasure to be here.
All right.
Always feeling empowered this hour, you know?
Yes. All right. We're going to bring some empowerment to our community. Yeah, that is pretty. That background's nice.
All right. No, it's not nice not to share, man. You know, you got to pass this plate around.
Hey, go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Daryl. We were talking about earlier off the line. We were talking about the school, DCPS schools, and the number of positive COVID cases, both with students and with the other employees. What gives there? Is there anything that we should be alarmed about?
I mean, I wouldn't say so. I mean, with the number of students and teachers and faculty that we have, with the cases that we have, we haven't seen huge spikes. But what I would say is that at any moment, if we let our guard down, we're going to see even more of this. And as we move towards this October, November time, when people are sick anyway, I think extra precaution is going to be taken by our staff and our principals and our schools, because the big complaint I'm hearing right now is folks are being sent home, with symptoms, but they may not have COVID. And that's just folks being over cautious, which is good about stuff, because you can't take a chance. Because if somebody comes in with a temp or fever or things like that, you can't take a chance and say, oh, it might be this. No, you got to take all precautions, because if you wait, then you spread that thing around a whole class and a whole school.
So you said, stated that you guys are making preparations for the what we call the flu season, quote unquote. What types of things can you add to what you already are already doing for those safety measures?
Yeah, it's sort of maintaining what we're doing and then continuing it, because you also have, in addition to that, we're under our sort of guise was we're moving into taking those hybrid students and pushing them into school in that full time. And those high schoolers will start back very soon. So I think it's just being extra cautious, continuing those efforts of temperature checks and mask checks and social distancing as much as you can, and then limiting as much as possible any other times where folks are grouping together. And what we're finding is it's usually coming from they're doing well at school because they have all these precautions. But then once they get out of school, rip that mask off and go do what you want. And all of a sudden you have it, then you bring it back. So we're not seeing the huge spread in the schools like people would have imagined, because they're all covered up and masked up in school. And what's happening, if those positive cases are happening, they're happening outside of that school environment.
Well, I didn't see any folk with masks on that were out there to hear the president speak.
Well, I think that was my next question.
Aren't these the parents of the children that are in the school?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the big worry, though. That's exactly it.
Darryl, but also the governor just said that he's moving the entire state into phase 3 immediately. So that means all bars and restaurants are open to a minimum capacity of 50%. With the kids, going back home to these environments again, where people are being possibly exposed during the day, this is a recipe for the catastrophe.
Yeah, I can stride again. That's what Frankie Beverly said.
I mean,
I do think songs today.
it seems a bit premature. I definitely know that there's sort of this rush to kind of get the economy back and get small businesses back up. And I understand that, but I think it's a risk, because you could do that, but then you could have to shut down again. And then people are back to square one. So, and I heard a quote the other day is based on, especially in Florida, some of the safest places you can be is in a school environment or some of these city environments, because there are so many precautions to get in. Because some of these other places, as you can see with different rallies and other things happening, there's just no regulation on it. So I think that we're at this odd sort of point, and I just want to continue to press that message of mask up, social distance, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And then you got voting time coming up, and a lot of this is because of that. And I know y'all have already talked about it, but go out and vote. Halfpenny's coming up too. So you got to do it, because that's part of leadership. Like, that leadership we have is the reason why your opinions may not line up with what we're doing right now.
Absolutely. And yeah, you were right. We were discussing it earlier, and you got three positive votes for the last last thing on the ballot. So we were reminding folks to vote the entire ballot and make sure they vote for that half penny. Find me if you want. But I think the best thing for our children is to pass this tax so that, you know, they can have a comfortable place to go and learn.
Got to. It's the key, you know, and a lot of folks are saying there's other funds, other places, but the economic impact of this on our community, and we're going to be having a town hall, and you all suggested this, and we've sort of started to go down the path of getting minority businesses and contractors involved early on, because we want to see some of that money stay in the community as well. So this is a huge opportunity for us to help us and lift us up, and we can do it in November.
If you'd like to contact us, please email us at jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com. That's jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com.
And Darryl, thank you for coming on. And as usual, our education contributor, Jarman,
yes.
Dr. Danford, hey, have a great weekend and enjoy yourself. Let's keep Breonna Taylor on our minds, family.
Indeed.
Sure. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yes. Yep.